Hello and welcome back to Aspiration Athletics Podcast, where we talk about your health, your fitness, and how you can create habit change that will improve your quality of life. As usual, I'm your host, Devin Burnison, and today we're going to be talking about being comfortable with discomfort. And in other words, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. 2020 was a scary year for most of us and caused a lot of stress in our lives. I know for myself that was the case, and for many people out there, fear can cultivate poor decision making and can create volatility in decision making, and ultimately can lead to compounding problems, right? So we're going to be diving into strategies of how to positively implement coping mechanisms that are going to be beneficial to your progress as you work on developing a bit more resilience in your life. You are a product of your environment. So if you're constantly stressed out, if you're constantly feeling overwhelmed, you know, there are studies showing that that can have negative consequences on your immune response. So in turn, you become more sick frequently, you start developing illnesses, and all around creating more stress in your life. It's cyclical. Until you can start to address some of those stresses with healthy coping mechanisms. And you already know where I'm going with this, folks. I would love for everybody to make a declaration at finding just one thing that is a positive take on a coping mechanism. And that could be some healthy coping mechanisms, just to put it in your ear. Of course, you know, I'm going to start with physical activity. Look, everyone thinks I'm going to start saying you need to lift weights. That's not the case, but you do need to move. You know, all of this despair and depression and anxiety stems from, in large part, is due to a lack of movement. It is due to a lack of involvement in trying to get some of those dopamine hormone responses from physical activity that we're generally just not getting enough of in this modern world. I don't know how many of you guys have seen the movie WALL-E, but the premise of that movie is that everything is essentially run by robots and AI. Hint, hint, Elon Musk, we're heading into the future, right? But no, seriously, everything's run by AI and robots, and humans don't do anything other than eat. And like, at least that's what I gathered from the video or from the movie. But they don't do much of anything other than eat. These people are extremely overweight and very much so regressed in their cognitive ability. That is the story for a lot of people. If you've ever watched My 600-Pound Life, you know, those are the stories that we need to look at and say, wow, this is what unhealthy coping mechanisms can lead to, right? So this is not to make fun of those people or individuals that are suffering from those things, but this is to shed light on a bigger issue that is how not developing healthy coping mechanisms in the face of stress and in the face of adversity can cause illness, can cause extreme weight gain, and in turn just really make you feel crappy, right? Mentally, can really cause some self-deprecating behavior and thoughts and feelings towards ourselves, and loss of intrinsic motivation, which is your internal drive to get things done, which I believe, bar none, is something that can pull you out of very, very stressful, daunting situations. And bottom line is, guys, it affects our finances too. How often I get this a lot because I'm a amateur trader in some ways. I work the stock market. I've dealt with Bitcoin, and having the opportunity to kind of dive into that world and that space, people are very scared with their money. And this comes from a place of not having money to work with to begin with. So they're putting their life savings or they're putting their rent money into the stock market. And of course you're scared. Of course you're trying to get a leg up when you're working under pressure and you're not thinking clearly. Your emotions get in the way of problem solving and critical thinking. So we also have to think of stress in that regard too, is that it can impact our critical thinking skills. So it's important that we keep ourselves level-headed. So getting back to my point of healthy coping mechanisms, we've got physical activity. That's going to be my first and most emphasized addition to our positive coping mechanisms. Next would be self-care. Now, this one's pretty big. This also lies under emotional coping mechanisms, much like physical exercise. And this is one that I'm sure you've heard a ton throughout your life. And it's kind of funny, also not funny, but interesting to say the least, that you know this is something that people put in everybody's ear when we are running crazy out of our minds trying to get things done in such a hyper-productive society. And it can be really hard to prioritize our own self-care. So this is one that I really think can go a long way. And self-care can be a lot of things. Self-care can be taking a bath. Self-care can be focusing on things that you like to do, like hobbies. Self-care can be getting a mani-pedi, right? Or literally just something that brings you a sense of relief, peace of mind, and joy. For me, self-care kind of looks like just dumbing myself down for an hour and playing Xbox or something, right? Or watching a really cruddy movie, you know, that by all respects, I'm the only one interested in. But these are things that bring you joy. These are things that help relieve some of that stress and, you know, can allow even for what we talked about earlier, the dopamine response. So self-care is a big one, folks, and I think that really goes undervalued. Another one that I think is interesting that people should consider is this aspect of like motivational speaking and pep talk and kind of surrounding yourself with influences that have a strong message that you can get behind. Now, that doesn't mean listen to productivity porn, right? And if you've ever, went down that rabbit hole of listening to a compilation of like Warren Buffett and Elon Musk motivational videos, or maybe you're a gym rat and you listen to something that's Jay Cutler and C.T. Fletcher oriented, like those guys are all just, or David Goggins is a big one, right? These guys are just ultimate productivity porn, and that's not really conducive to creating a healthy mindset around emotional-based coping mechanisms. So that's one that I want you to be careful of. That can really, there's not much gray area nuance between the two. So you got to be careful what you're looking into. But you do want to find and create a circle of influences that aren't impacting your life in a way that, you know, can cause more harm than good, right? So that's kind of where I stand on that. And I think that this next addition here is something that goes under-recognized quite often, and I myself have seen numerous benefits from when I decide and have the intention to put time into it, and that is meditation. I actually do this a lot with clients now in working at the end, maybe the last 5 or 10 minutes of a class setting. Meditation is really good for creating intention throughout your day and helping fixate on the things that are important to you. You know, we get, like I talked about, hyper-productive society. We get caught up in so many other things going on in our lives, and it's really hard to sift through what's important. It's almost like a computer using its search engine and buffering to produce the web results that you're looking for. When we've got so much that we're filtering and sifting through, it can be hard to focus and fixate on what matters. And what matters is your emotional state. What matters is your physical state. So that's where we have to draw our attention and our energy to. So I think meditation is another one that is really beneficial for those that are willing to put in the time to increase that ability to draw focus inward. You know, I think it would be beneficial to also mention this aspect of problem-focused coping skills. So we have emotional-based coping skills and problem-focused coping skills. And, you know, understanding the difference between the two is pretty important. So emotional-based is going to ultimately help you be in a better state of mind, taking care of your feelings, kind of taking stock of your feelings when you don't want to change the situation, or maybe the situation's outside of your control. And with problem-focused coping, you're actually trying to prepare yourself to mitigate some of the potential dangers of your environment. Right? So you're developing a clear plan that's going to help you do better and help you start to feel more confident about your ability to succeed in a given task or in a given environment. So some problem-focused coping mechanisms are working on time management. This is a big one. You know, time management seems to escape a lot of people. I myself have had problems with that in a academia setting. And that was something that I needed to really take a hard look at and find a way to manage my time appropriately so I could get my studies in, so I could get my time in the gym, and also be an important and productive member of the work environment that I was undergoing at the time. You have to also create you know, maybe a to-do list, or have a set of objectives that you're working on throughout the day, the week, the month, the year. And I think that breaking those down into all different sections, day, week, month, and year, is going to really help you hone in on what's important throughout the year on an annual basis. And again, that helps with preparation, right? If you're not, as the old adage goes, if you're not preparing and you lack preparation, you're preparing to fail. Right. And that the same is to be said here. We've got to take action and put a plan together of and prioritizing what's important and how to address some of these problems to help us cope with the environment that may be stressful for us. And I would say that another helpful addition to draw attention to is creating healthy boundaries, whether it's with a spouse, whether it's with a coworker, or even your boss, right? I think it's important to establish some boundaries, let people know where you stand in your relationship, where you stand in your work environment. You should not be taking home all of this work at the end of a work day. Same thing with homework. You should not be taking home more homework than what you're doing in classwork in class, right? And let me break this down with a story. My mother is a hardworking woman. This woman built herself up from a pool attendant in a trailer park to managing properties in the region of Southeast Michigan. I mean, really worked her way up that corporate ladder. And I'm so proud of her. And there were moments in time where her work ethic and drive was taken advantage of. And you could say that productivity maybe led her to the spot she's in. I don't think that correlates directly. But I do know that there were many nights that she brought work home with her when there just was no reason to. But she did not create healthy boundaries with her boss, with her coworkers, to mitigate how much work and stress she was putting on herself. So it's important for all of us out there to recognize that creating healthy boundaries can be beneficial for feeding into our emotional capacity, and again, leading to emotional-based coping strategies that are going to benefit our overall perception of stress as well. And last point for positive coping mechanisms is finding a support group. I think this one's a powerful tool, and I'm a bit introverted, so I know that's kind of totally outside of what you'd expect being a fitness professional and running a podcast, but I do have some introverted tendencies. I'm an introverted extrovert, as some people would like to say. But having a support group of people that maybe share your hobbies, right? Going back to that other coping mechanism, or you know, people that are struggling with some of the same things that you are in terms of the stress that you deal with. Everybody, to a certain extent, is working and has a job or has some sort of, you know, thing that they're doing throughout the day that wears on them, which can cause stress. So it's good to have a support group that you can discuss your stress with. And your support group could just be your partner. Guys, we are not talking, guys, literally, men, we are not talking to our partners enough. We are not creating a conversation and creating a foundation to where we can have conversations on things that we're struggling with, therefore leading to unhealthy coping mechanisms. And man, there's a lot of them. So be prepared for when we talk about that. But having that support group is really going to help you through some of those tough times when you're struggling. I have some individuals that I work with that they're on a weight loss journey, doing body transformations. And, you know, these people usually start struggling when they get into a place where they're, by all respects, much healthier than when they started. But that stress of and pressure of having to stay consistent and things start to wear on them, and they're looking for support from me. They're looking for support from people who are sharing that experience. And I think that that in and of itself, folks, is priceless, having a support group to talk about literally anything that you're going through and stressed out about. Myself, even, I have support groups that I look towards. You know, I tend to get my support through social media platforms and using that medium of podcasting to listen to people with a topic that relates to something that I'm struggling with or need to learn more about. And again, I really think this is a excellent addition to a positive coping mechanism for you to create some healthy habits and start to develop some change in growth in your life in areas that you didn't think was possible. And in turn can help you formulate a better perception of the stress around you. So let's talk about negative coping mechanisms. The big ones are probably going to be drugs, sex, alcohol, you know, bad music, right? No, but all joking aside, the big three, you know, and these things have not only destroyed relationships, but they've destroyed life in some instances. You know, alcohol is something that kills people every day, whether it be from alcoholism or drunk driving. You know, we're talking millions of lives lost just from a addiction and unhealthy coping mechanism that is very popularized and normalized in our society. That's something that we need to be aware of and hold ourselves accountable to, you know, understand the difference between having a few drinks on the weekend and literally drinking ourselves into a state of mind that dulls all of our senses and all of our critical thinking. So drugs, alcohol, those are in the same boat, folks. Sex is another one. And I think that this is under-discussed in our society today, is that we have got probably the most widely open access to connecting with individuals than we've ever had in the history of our world and how we communicate. And these platforms being Tinder, Bumble, Hot or Not, that was a big one when I was in high school. Omegle, these are just a few off the top of my head. Facebook dating, you know, like all of these things that we're interacting through with, you know, dating profiles, online matchmaking, things like that. You know, we in general are becoming, you know, overinvested in that kind of technology and can really become a problem, just like pornography. You know, that kind of access 24/7 is something that I don't think is healthy. And a lot of people have bad intentions on those interfaces. So I think that, you know, for sure, the accessibility of being able to just create a profile on Tinder and, you know, this is somebody who's married or somebody who's already in a relationship and just completely being a totally different person and leading others on. And I mean, there's a whole world of dark, chaotic behavior that is, by all respects, pretty messy on those platforms. And again, can lead into an unhealthy behavior that bleeds into other aspects of our life, destroying relationships, destroying our finances, destroying our health and well-being. And like I just talked about, folks, you know, if we're not able to perceive stress in a way that doesn't constantly, you know, bring out that fight or flight response and doesn't wear out our adrenal glands and constantly have us looking out for, you know, the next person that's going to hurt us or, you know, the next person that's going to yell at us at work. Like, you know, being in a safe working environment is another thing, right? If you're in a toxic environment, whether at home or at work, and this is a big one for a lot of people. I know I'm jumping around, but I'm trying to hit all bases here. This is another stressful environment that can kind of go, you know, wiped underneath the rug kind of thing, right? Is we don't really realize how stressful and toxic some of our at-home environments can be. Just because it's our parents or our family members that are stressing us out doesn't mean that you have to live with that kind of deprecation in your life and constant criticism. Now, I'm all for criticism as long as it's constructive, as long as it's beneficial to some extent, and it's helping you grow and develop and become a better person. But criticism can also become degrading, right? And I know there's plenty of people out there that whether you're in a job environment or you're in a relationship, there's nothing you do that is going to make that person feel any better about who you are and what you're trying to accomplish, no matter how much you're working on what they asked of you. That could be a boss, that could be your partner, right? So those kind of toxic environments too can begin to wear on us. And in turn, usually leads to picking up those unhealthy coping mechanisms, the beer, the sex, the drugs, all the things that we just talked about, right? So it's really, it's an interesting phenomena because those things keep you in that cycle, right? You and they're easy to access. That's the thing. I always look at barrier for entry. Barrier for entry for exercise is really, really high, you guys. I get it. It's tough to challenge yourself. It is tough to want to go and hit legs, right? How many times, whether you exercise or not, you hear all the time about people, oh, I don't want to hit leg day. It sucks. Yes, it is shitty to hit leg day. It is not fun. It is literally torturous. And I understand that. But in the same instance, when you can ground yourself in habits and rituals that challenge you and that condition that threshold for your perceived stress, then you can start to increase your willpower against those negative coping mechanisms and ultimately have a different perspective and gratitude towards the life and environment that you are living in. So to kind of summarize, guys, there is easier accessibility to those negative coping mechanisms, and that's why they're so abundantly abused is because there's a very small barrier, very little, if any, barrier for entry. I'd say the only barrier for entry to use alcohol as a coping mechanism is an ID, right? And even that is something that's becoming easier and easier to get through. And same thing with sex and drugs, right? I mean, you can jump on Tinder, you can jump on Facebook relationships and easily start to build a secret life outside of your relationship and start doing, you know, really shady things that create ultimately habits that start to snowball into worse behavior and again leading to destroying your relationship and destroying your finances and destroying your quality of life. So in summation, I really, really want you to think about these things. I know we're all adults. Most of us, according to my analytics, we're all adults here. And we know what the right thing to do is. And it's usually the hardest thing to do. It's usually the one that has the highest barrier for entry. But I'll tell you what, anything that's worth doing isn't going to be easy to do, right? Easy to complete. And that's why we've got to increase our threshold for pain tolerance, stress tolerance, right? And I get this a lot and I stand by this message. You cannot try to change the world if you yourself can't do a push-up. Now, this may sound pretty abstract, but my point behind this is people got such high aspirations, and especially in a world where we're interconnected all the time and seeing incredible things that people are doing, we don't really understand how much work or effort or years of dedication and commitment it takes to acquire these things, wealth, status, success. And we see it in abundance every single day in our lives, so we don't understand and can't draw a line between the effort and perceived exertion and stress that's needed to be handled to be able to have those things. So when you can't do a push-up, you're really limiting yourself on what's actually possible. So my point here is, folks, let's start to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Start to find comfort in the uncomfortable nature of doing exercise. I work with people that hate doing exercise, but they always feel better after, right? And we work on chipping away at that willpower every single day. We work at trying to build that threshold for stress tolerance. And again, that's invaluable. That's going to pull you through times like we had in 2020, where the world starts falling apart. This is the first time in my life in 2020 that was a big reality check for me that changed the entire course of how I operate and try to handle stress and also prepare. And, you know, I think it's funny because I remember even making fun of doomsday preppers about 10 years ago. And these guys are, I mean, they're chilling in their basement bunkers, you know, having a cigar and hanging out because they knew that something like this was going to happen. All joking aside, folks, preparation is necessary. Preparation is going to be the one thing that pulls you out of hard times like this, or at least gives you a bit of security and peace of mind knowing that, you know, when the fit hits the shan, you had that in mind and you prepared for it. So don't take these moments of stress for granted. Find a way to cope. Find a healthy way to cope and continue to try to stress yourself in healthy ways every single day. Physical exercise and physical movement is a great way to build that threshold. And as always, folks, never forget, aspire to inspire. I'll be talking to you soon.